Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Welcome back to the show. Jake and I just spent the commercial break watching J.R. Smith videos, so we've got that going for us. But right now, we have Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing good. Lions win this weekend.
All aboard! Those Lions, right? The Detroit Lions Football Express. All aboard!
One pride.
This is probably an indictment of me, what I do on Sundays, but I was watching the game between the Falcons and the Lions, because, hey, you got to watch
Lions.
Falcons, because usually all hell breaks loose at the end of their games. And I'm watching this, and I can't believe when Todd Gurley, because he's made that play before where he doesn't score,
yeah,
and stays in bounds so he can give his team the opportunity to end it with a field goal and win the game. And it was just as soon as it happened and he accidentally scored when he didn't mean to, you knew the Lions were going to come back and make him pay for it, and they kept showing him on the sideline. I felt so bad for him. He was so pissed, and I'll be damned if the Lions didn't drive down there. And as I said on Monday, that incredible touchdown catch by Matt Patricia. Did you see that?
He was able to
fight off a couple of defenders.
Didn't get to it fast enough.
Right. Three and three, Jeff. Can I take your temperature now on the Detroit Lions, please, and where you're at?
I would say, as I just open up some hand sanitizer to squirt it all in my face, some kind of weird setup in here.
Wait a minute.
I don't know what's going on with this hand sanitizer here. It's not hitting my hand.
Here's what you got
to
worry about.
Explain to me what's happening right now.
I witnessed it.
Everybody can identify with this in the COVID hand sanitizer world. Sometimes a little bit of the hand sanitizer crusts over on the bottom of the dispenser, and when you push it down, instead of it squirting down toward your hand, it shoots straight up towards your face.
Yeah. Good Lord.
That's what happened to Jeff right there.
Yeah, I saw him jump in the middle of your question. I wasn't really sure.
Is that good of a question? Huh?
Yeah, right.
Like a bad porno.
Wow.
Okay.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WAB. Stephen St. John.
Or a good one.
Nate Bucchetti with Jake Gutierrez.
Depends on what you're searching for.
Yes. To each their own, Jeff.
Right. Tuesday, October 27th.
No labels.
Yeah, so the question you asked me. Now, I'm not on the bandwagon just yet. Call me when they are in the playoffs.
Oh, I will.
He'll call you. He'll text you.
That might be like a 10-year wait for that. All I want to say, look, I was happy they won. Impressive victory the way they came back. They had to make some plays. Got a huge catch from Kenny Galladay to get them down within reach. And you're right. I think once they didn't make that play, I was like, they might win this game. But I will give you some key stats from about the Detroit Lions, which is – 3 playoff appearances in the last 21 years.
Wow.
11 playoff appearances since 1957.
All right.
I think no team in the league has a worse appearance rate in the playoffs than the Detroit Lions, and one of 4 teams to never play in a Super Bowl. So when you're watching those games, I just know I'm praying for you. I'm keeping, you know, any kind of like addiction.
I'm invested through
it's
you
like,
now.
It's almost like a strange, you know, addiction going on here that you're starting to get into the rabbit hole of the Detroit Lions. I don't want you to get so deep in there that you start looking at Eric Hipple highlight videos. Barry Sanders retired.
Hey, too late.
I was at Andre Ware's NFL debut at Arrowhead Stadium, and I predicted stardom. Well,
that's
I was wrong.
Happened.
I missed.
Just barely.
You win some, lose some.
Right, I missed that one.
I feel like that game was a whole lot about the Falcons and what they seem to do every weekend, which is...
That's why it's fun to watch. You got to watch the fourth quarter of every Falcons game because you'll see something good
horrible. It's kind of weird right now with the NFL because there are teams that are really just either bad or just inept and just can't get out of their own way, and then there are teams playing at a really high level. There's not a lot of mid-level, middle-class teams out there. You're like, oh, if this team just gets it figured out, they're either teams doing like what the Chargers have been doing or what the Falcons have been doing, or what the Broncos obviously were doing on Sunday, or teams playing at the level the Chiefs are at, or the Buccaneers, or the Steelers. So it's just you're either seeing, you know, unless these two good teams are playing against each other, you're probably going to see a really bad football game or a whole bunch of mistakes.
Okay, Jeff, we'll spend the rest of the hour talking about the Chiefs, but I would like to ask you your thoughts about the controversy that took place on Monday Night Football last night as the Rams beat the Bears, but that's not what anyone's talking about really right now. Let's start with Brian Griese's comments in the booth during the game last night between the Bears and the Rams, where the Bears were offensively challenged throughout the entire game. And here's what Monday Night Football analyst Brian Griese had to say about a conversation he had with Nick Foles.
We were talking to Nick Foles yesterday, and he said, you know, sometimes play calls come in, and I know that I don't have time to execute that play call. And, you know, I'm the one out here getting hit. Sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back here. And so that's something that they have to get worked out.
Mm. So let's start there. What's your reaction when you hear that?
Oh, I heard it in real time, and I was taken aback by it. And now, you know, granted, like in these production meetings, it's very casual conversations, and you know, it's very informal, and guys are way looser than what the normal public sees in press conferences, what the typical media person sees in press conferences. So, I don't think Brian Griese pulled that out of nowhere. And I heard Nick Foles say afterwards that he miscommunicated with him in some way. But yeah, I mean, I think I was stunned. It was accurate. that it wasn't right. Like it was like misleading in any way. I mean, you could see it happening
believable.
On the field.
Yeah. Right.
You mentioned that. So let me play these others and we can get your reaction so we can give everyone the full context. So here, after the game, then first Matt Nagy. That was the first question that he was asked about what Foles said to Brian Griese.
Hey, Matt, on the ESPN broadcast, Brian Griese relayed a conversation he had with Nick Foles, where Nick apparently told him, this is a quote from the broadcast, sometimes play calls come in and I know I don't have time to execute that play call. Has he communicated that to you, and did you feel like he had enough time today to execute the play calls you called?
We've never had that conversation, but explain to me what that comment meant, what it was that he said.
His exact comment was, quote, sometimes play calls come in. This is just what Brian Griese said on the broadcast. I don't know if Nick said this, but this is what he said Nick relayed to him. Sometimes play calls come in, and I don't know that I have the time to execute that play call, and I'm the one out here getting hit. Sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back there, and so that's something they have to work out. That's just what was said on the broadcast.
Yeah, I don't know. You'll have to, whenever you talk to Nick, just kind of see where he's at with that. Nick and I have a pretty good relationship, and he hasn't said, I mean, he'll probably explain what he meant by that.
Did you feel like today, though, that the play calls you were getting in, Nick did have enough time to execute them?
I don't know. I got to watch the tape and see. I know there's a couple here or there where, you're in scat protection certain times and they might make you hot here or there. But I have no idea. You know, I have to go back and see it exactly what the deal is. I know if you're saying the play's getting in to be able to call the play, there's no issue there. I don't know what the next part was.
So they took his advice and they asked Nick Foles about it when he came to the podium.
That was definitely a miscommunication with Brian and I. We do these pregame conversations the day before the game just to give them information. That conversation, Coach Nagy and I have a great conversation on the sidelines. So there might be times where we go through it beforehand and say, hey, what do you think? And there's times where you got to get the ball out quick and whatnot. But in those situations, like Matt and I have a great relationship on the sideline with conversations and everything. I think, you know, in that situation with Brian, it was just a miscommunication of words because that's not what I was trying to bring across in that conversation.
So my takeaways are, number one, I'd be pissed off if I was a Bears offensive lineman because it sounded like he's throwing the Bears. You know, I don't have enough time to run this play. It's not going to work. And so that's also an indictment of Matt Nagy's play calling, because you have to call plays that fit to what your personnel is and what they can execute. But I'd also be, you know, pissed off at Brian Griese if I'm Nick Foles, because I'm quite sure Nick Foles didn't expect that to make the broadcast. But then how do you feel about Nick Foles being that open and with his criticism to Brian Griese? I don't know. I mean, what do you take away from that? Because I certainly wouldn't be happy if I was a Bears offensive lineman, even though they haven't been performing well. It sounds like your quarterback threw you under the bus.
Yeah, you know, just having been in these situations with in interviews, I would guess what happened was they were talking about a whole bunch of different stuff, and then maybe casually either in private – in jest, Nick Foles may have made those comments or something to that effect. Now, I don't know exactly, without having a tape in front, you don't know exactly what he said, and Brian Griese may have interpreted it in a way that was more damning. But, yeah, I would assume what – Nick Foles is a smart guy. He's a nice guy. He's always been a stand-up guy. He's never been somebody who's been in a locker room and not respected or not liked. So, I don't think he threw his lineman under the bus. I don't think he was throwing Matt Nagy under the bus. I think he just probably got too casual with this conversation and said, yeah, we're probably, you know, there's a lot of pressure on us. And, you know, there's some play calls coming in that probably just can't run right now. And probably said it in a very matter-of-fact way. But when you're watching them get beat by the Rams and Aaron Donald in his face on every play, it just adds to the effect that when you hear it and you know how it's going to play out, it's not going to be good. But, yeah, I'm sure – Nick Foles is doing a lot of mea culpas today within the Bears organization. Shotgun approach to that. got touched a lot of bases there.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I was saying the guys, I would be interested to hear from former quarterbacks how often conversations like that, I'm guessing, probably happen a lot, especially if you actually have a good relationship with your offensive coordinator. Like, hey, man, I don't have time for this play. And the back and forth that might happen, right. I mean, that happens in the workplace sometimes, right? You see something differently, you go back and forth about it a little bit, I don't know.
Man, you don't know. Here's a little insider stuff for, you know, from somebody who's covered the NFL for a long time. I've had a number of conversations with people, coaches, players, about their own team. And they will talk trash without any regard when they know nobody's listening. It's not going to go beyond that. I was talking to a Titans coach at the combine. Just ran into him. I hadn't seen him in a while. And we were talking about the success they had last year. And he's like, man, our defense stinks. You know, we're not very good. We don't have very good players. And it was accurate. Their defense isn't very good. But it wasn't like I was going to go run out and tell people, hey, Titans defense up. You know, it's
this
like
coach told me.
Yeah, exactly. It was just in a matter of, you know, just kind of like, hey, casually, this is what's going on. And, you know, I've seen coaches get hired off staffs and talk to other coaches. Hey, how's this guy going to do? Oh, he's going to suck, man. He's not very good. Didn't know what he's doing. I'm shocked that he got that. You know, it just so that stuff happens all the time. But again, Nick Foles has never been the kind of guy, and I've seen him. In with the Rams, I've seen him with the Eagles, I've seen him in various settings and never felt like he was the kind of guy who would, disparage a teammate or a coaching staff without any kind of regard or remorse.
You know who the big winner in this whole thing is, though?
Mr. Trubisky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was looking, I get up
on... You know
on...
who the big loser is? The guy over here about 5 feet away from us.
Hey, oh, no.
Easy. I mean, it could just be mention of words.
Foles fan club. Why am I sitting here trying to explain Nick Foles? Talk to
he's an upstanding individual. I mean, we've never seen that. He's usually the type of guy to take the blame.
Yeah.
I mean, he's usually, like, that's right. Usually his go-to. So I have to believe that there was some type of lost in translation when him and Brian Griese.
And
I started thinking more about this because those conversations happen after the production meetings. But these are all happening over Zoom.
Yeah.
Well, this.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, and so. In my mind, I was thinking about conversations I've seen other analysts and producers have with guys after they sit down at the table and after they have their questions and answers.
Or even before.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right. But that conversation didn't happen before or after because all these are done over Zoom now.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's like he had to. I mean, it probably would have been better if Lewis Riddick would have laid that out there, because Greasy is a former quarterback, and you know it's a quarterback club. And if that truly was, because Nate pointed it out when we replayed it, something I didn't catch the first couple times we played this morning, is that he said we talked to Nick Foles.
Yeah, that implies this wasn't just the two of them having a phone call back and forth.
Right, so it's not like, hey, Nick Foles and I were talking and he kind of relayed this to me. He said we.
That sounds like production meeting right
there. Right, exactly. Yeah. And so that's like, you know, it's weird.
The thing about the Trubisky part, though, it's kind of... I mean, when I woke up this morning, I looked on Twitter. Mark Carman, old buddy of ours who works in Chicago, he tweeted out this morning right away, like, so is it possible that Trubisky really wasn't this bad all along? That was a plot twist I wasn't expecting. And because Foles has at least a track record of being decent, right? Not great, but he won a Super Bowl, and he's been decent.
MVP
and,
of that
and
Super Bowl.
He's been a class act. There's not a lot of stories of him throwing coaches under the bus left and right in places, as far as I know. Yeah. So when that guy comes out and says that stuff, all the Bears fans all of a sudden go, wait a second, maybe we were trashing the wrong guy this whole time.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but that's where they're taking it in Chicago this morning, I promise you.
A new twist on the nickname, Big Dick Nick. just drop the Nick. We'll just go with that.
Unbelievable.
That's
right. Jeff can't wait to get that nickname in at least once every other show.
I saw someone last night.
Translation.
And I'm letting
after his, after that interception in the end zone, some Bears reporter renamed him Two-Pick Nick. And then it was hilarity ensued from there. We've got Jeff Chedia in studio. We will come back and talk about the Chiefs on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I'm looking at the receivers in Houston. There's a couple guys there in the final year of their contracts, Kenny Stills and Will Fuller most prominently. I want to see what Atlanta does in terms of who they might move. I know that the names of like Matt Ryan and Julio Jones have been out there. I don't expect them to be traded because their contracts really kind of prohibit it. And then, you know, I was in New England on Sunday, and it was hard to see that team as a team that's, you know, one piece away. I think some people around the league are wondering what the Patriots will do, whether they'll start to sell off a piece or two here at the deadline and look toward the future. And you look at some veterans on defense, like maybe, you know, the McCourty brothers. Some teams are asking about Stephon Gilmore. I don't think it's likely the Patriots would move him, but you never know if you get blown away. So I think this is, you know, that's a team to watch here over the next week, depending on what they decide to do. I wonder if what happened Sunday in Buffalo with them could help determine their decisions at the trade deadline as well.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. That was Dan Graziano from ESPN speculating on what players could be moved before the trade deadline, which is on Election Day. You think we'll see much activity, Jeff, at the trade deadline or before it?
You know, good question. I don't know. It's such a strange year, and as I just said in the last segment, I think some of these teams are already out of it or at a point where, maybe like the Graziano said about New England, maybe they'll be willing to move some people. But you're already seeing stuff happen. You saw the Ravens pick up Yannick Ngakoue, another pass rusher that they needed to have. You saw Fournette get dumped. You saw Le'Veon Bell get released. Antonio Brown got signed. So there's been people out there. There's still a lot of people out there on the open market that can be picked up and added, and people can go on with the added practice squads. People have more people to choose from. So I don't know. I don't think it's going to be that hot of a market. I just don't know who else is out there, big name-wise, that really is interesting. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to be that crazy.
And in case you were wondering, I saw a tweet yesterday from Nick Jacobs, who's a very good follow on Twitter when it comes to the Chiefs, that the Chiefs still have over $5 million, almost $6 million, $5.9 million and some change in salary cap space per the NFLPA. And so if they needed to do something, look, they were in a position where they were able to capitalize on Le'Veon Bell becoming free. If they need to do something, they've got the space to do it, and that's always good to have that in your back pocket. But, Jeff, what did you think of the game against the Broncos? It was a different kind of a win for the Chiefs. Very impressive, but they scored offensively, defensively, and special teams, and I think the biggest shock was 0-8 on third downs. Boy, that just doesn't happen with the Patrick Mahomes-led Chiefs offense. But they were able to win very comfortably 43-16 on the road.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Broncos have a lot of issues. Certainly injuries being a big part of that. That's the kind of game that get a coach fired, be honest with you, because they looked like they were not really that into it. That kickoff return wasn't didn't see a lot of hustle on that from the Broncos players, and then the pick six, and then the flea flicker that Melvin Gordon just kind of tossed into the air.
What was wrong with that? what didn't you like about that execution?
That looked like the kind of flea flicker you try to run when you're playing with your buddies. Like, you know, just pitch it, everybody go out.
In a turkey bowl. Everybody's all liquored up and just thinking about turkey. It's like thinking about Thanksgiving dinner. So I didn't see a lot of fight, but I wasn't expecting a lot of fight. I mean, it's they're in a weird. I felt bad for Drew Lock, to be honest with you, because I think that's a I think he clearly wanted to make some big plays and make a big splash against his hometown team, and it just turned into a snowball rolling downhill in a hurry against them. So yeah, the point you made though I thought was interesting. You look at the numbers. And aside from the four turnovers, 0-8 on third down is an issue. And I thought the pass protection was not very good. You know, I think he got hit a lot. Mahomes got hit an awful lot, which begs the question I had after they had the big running game against Buffalo, is that these guys are good run blockers, but pass protection might be a bigger issue when Mitch Schwartz is not in the game. And, you know, so that Broncos defense isn't that great. Bradley Chubb is there, and they did some things. But, yeah, I think that overall it's a good win because you got all three phases contributing big plays, and you scored 43 points. But if you look at the film, I think 0-8 on third down would be a big issue if I'm Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes.
Jeff Chedia from NFL Network is our guest. Look, I don't really know what to ask you about Chiefs Jets. The only question we'll be able to come up
even worse.
I have a question.
Do you think the Chiefs will cover? Let's start there.
Yeah. Damn it,
the Chiefs cover.
That's my question.
Well, what's the betting line?
Today 19. It's 19.
Is it?
Wow. It was.
Is that
it opened
the highest?
Up at 20.
No, it dropped
ever
down to
in
20.
NFL history?
There has been seven other that have been higher, and only one of those teams has covered, thanks to Matt Derrick with that nugget.
Yeah, right.
So there's been seven spreads higher than this one. It opened at 21. And one of those seven teams covered, and now it's dropped down to 19, and that's where
my stat of the day yesterday was this game opened with a bigger spread than the Sunflower Showdown over the weekend between Kansas and Kansas State.
Yeah. Well, it's and for good reason. Look, you know, I'm at a loss for words too. Like, there was talk about me going out there and covering that game, and my bosses were like, I think we're not going to do it. I think they just said this is going to be an ugly game, a blowout win. The Jets are a mess. You know, this is me talking, not my bosses, but it's just, I don't see where that game against Denver might look like, Chargers-Dolphins 83 playoff game by the time this game is, you know. That's right. Kellen Winslow
Kellen
getting
Winslow's
off
being
it.
Dragged off the field,
That's what we're comparing it to that, you know. If you see this one.
So there was a famous moment on our show a few years ago when the Todd Haley, by this time I think it was the Romeo Crennel led Chiefs were pretty terrible, and they were going up against the undefeated Green Bay Packers.
I remember that.
And a young Phil St. John shouted at the Packers after the game, "You came in here undefeated, now you are defeated."
That's right.
Is there any fear, any chance that a scenario like that plays out? Because that does happen sometimes in the NFL.
Well, it helps if you're in your own stadium. I think that that Chiefs game was played in Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And when did Kyle Orton come in and play for that team at that time?
Yes, it's Kyle Orton.
Yeah, and he actually played pretty well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He played the last four games of that season.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. I just don't see. They'd have to come in here and play a perfect game, and I haven't seen them play a good game, you know, this season.
Right.
I was watching the Buffalo game last on Sunday against them, and what they lost for those six field goals. I mean, legitimately, they have to start thinking about Sam Darnold not being their quarterback of the future and start thinking about, well, there's some guys in the draft who are coming out. Guy from Clemson.
Trevor Lawrence is their quarterback of the future. Yeah. Go ahead and mark that down. Yeah. And honestly, trade Sam Darnold while you can still get something for him. I mean, you know you're going to move ahead and take Trevor Lawrence. I mean, I would think a team out there, I don't know what they're going to get, but a team might take a crack at Sam Darnold and see if they can turn him into the next Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I mean,
why not?
I don't know. I don't think there'll be a lot of takers for what they would
Jake
want.
Jake will trade for him. If Jake had a franchise, you trade
you
for him.
Still believe
you?
Yeah. I mean, I think he still has some potential there. I think he's been wrecked by Adam Gase.
Yeah.
I mean,
he hasn't been.
Right. That's a great question, Steven. I don't know. I mean, he's shipped everybody out, and it's been clear that he did not like Le'Veon Bell with his system, and he did everything he could. And I think that's where you see the frustration from Le'Veon Bell, because he was not put in position to succeed. I think he
didn't
jammed
like Robbie
into a
Anderson
system.
Yeah. Right. In his system either.
Yeah. Yes.
So I think Robbie Anderson's figured out a way to succeed, moving forward. He didn't like Ryan Tannehill in his system down in Miami either.
Yeah.
He didn't seem like he likes very many players for his system.
Peyton Manning.
Not named
makes
Peyton
me,
Manning.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Peyton Manning was the head coach and offensive coordinator for that football team. So
GM.
He created that
right,
system.
Exactly. So let me, boy, this is almost unbelievable, but I think it's very impressive. Have you guys taken a closer examination of what the Jets offense did in the second half against the Bills?
No.
I don't
no clue.
Encourage you to, because it'll make your eyes bleed.
They scored like 10 points, didn't they? Total?
Right. Well, they scored
the only
that first half.
Much.
They had the
they
only
did not,
touchdown.
Did they?
They did not score in the second half. Listen to this. Here are their drives. Are you ready? Four plays, 12 yards, punt. Three plays, no yards, punt. Three plays, minus 6 yards, punt. Three plays, 3 yards, punt. Three plays, minus 5 yards, interception. That's the second half of an NFL football game. And
no.
So let me do quick maths here. So they were plus 12, and then 0, and then minus 6, so they're down to 6 yards, and then 3, so they're up to 9, and then minus 5. They gained 4 yards in the second half with an interception, Jeff Chedia.
Well, let me ask you this. Can you name, outside of Sam Darnold, any other offensive player on that team?
Jamison Crowder.
I was just going to say, Jamison Crowder was the only one I could think of.
Hendon is their tight end.
Yeah. I mean, their running back was.
Frank
was
Gore. Pirine is.
Michael Pirine, yeah.
I mean,
it's the worst collection of players.
It's terrible, but if you're looking
Crowder
for a
play,
spot start for a running back, Pirine's he's going to get a lot of carries. So.
Well, Frank Gore and Pirine are the 1-2 punch there. They actually, if you look at their numbers, they were okay, but Denzel Mims was active for the game. He was their leading receiver. Braxton Berrios was the second leading receiver, and then Breshad Perriman. I don't.
So you asked me if I think Sam Darnold still has a chance. Yes, I think there's still.
Listen to me.
There's worth kicking the tires there.
I just read off 5 possessions, 5 full possessions, and they gained 4 yards and turned it over once. That's almost impossible.
Yeah,
to do
it is that, and that's
what's coming in here on Sunday.
Yeah, and that's why they're probably cover. Chiefs will probably cover that spread.
Yes, and now Jake, now how do you feel?
I'll tip my cup to that.
So here's the scenario that Jake ran by me during the commercial break. Do you think there's any Andy Reid there that says, "Hey, Le'Veon, this is your former team. Let's have a day for Le'Veon
this
today.
This is what we do for our guys."
Would that thought process even sneak into Andy Reid or Eric Bieniemy's head going into this game?
I'm sure he'll get some run. I'm sure he'll get some opportunities to stick it to him.
Here's the question. Will he get opportunities that he wouldn't have gotten against any other team? Are they going to give him opportunities against the Jets that he wouldn't have gotten, say, they were playing the Bills?
I don't know. I think it'll be a lot like I think it'll be a lot like the Texans game. I think there'll just be a lot of, like, we'll just do a lot of basic stuff, not have to go too deep in the playbook, you know, not have to exhaust Mahomes with the passing game, and just if they can stop it, then they'll stop it. But I think you'll probably see a lot. I think you'll probably get at least 12 to 15 carries. I think he and Hilaire will probably get the same amount. They'll probably run the ball at least 30, 35 times in this game.
Will the players be like, hey, let's show, let you know, there's a little something here. Let's we got Le'Veon's back here. You know, we have a chance to send the
welcome
Jets a
to
message.
The paternity.
Yeah,
send the Jets a message.
You know, like hey,
they need a message at this point.
Yeah, the message would be like, hey, look, you what? Wouldn't be getting your ass kicked as bad, bad if this guy was on your team. If this guy was on your team, you probably wouldn't get your ass handed to you every week, and you would have had more than 4 yards last week.
Oh, I think 0-6, whatever they are, probably is enough of a message. I think it's Andy Reid's got. You know, I think he's got a good heart in him. I don't think he's looking to humiliate anybody.
He just wants to get in, nobody injured, and get out.
Exactly.
That's the worst case for him.
Yeah, you don't want people walking out of here with injuries. So yeah, you got
to play. The Jets humiliate themselves. They don't need Andy Reid to do that.
Yeah, but it's they're not. They could go 0-16. I mean, legitimately, they have a chance to not win a game this year.
Well, hell yes. They just gained 4 yards and a half of football. They could accomplish anything that's terrible in this season, and we wouldn't blink. And so maybe that's the best case scenario for them, and they can end up with Trevor Lawrence and a new football coach next year. We'll take a break. We've got one more segment with Jeff Chedia after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jeff Chedia in studio. And, Jeff, you may not know this, but this is not the month of October. As Nate could tell you, this is the month of Socktober. And you still have a few days left in the month of Socktober, Kansas City. Join us for the hashtag Ready to Play $1 million sock giveaway, a virtual fundraiser and sock giveaway benefiting KC area families in need. And through the end of the month, you can help Shareways, powered by Sports Radio 810 and Community Services League, give away 100,000 pair of Bombas athletic socks to local youth organizations. How about this? With your donation of $8.10, you'll get two chances to win the grand prize. And if you give $250, you will automatically win a signed Tyreek Hill jersey while supplies last. And the grand prize is an ultimate grand prize of the Legion of Zoom prize pack with autographed sports memorabilia and much more. Grand prize includes Hill, Watkins, Harmon signed jerseys, Hill and Hardman signed action shots, Harmon signed football, Charlie Hustle Legion of Zoom gift basket, and more. A bunch of stuff from McCole Hardman and Hill and Watkins. And so you can get registered for that. You get two chances to win with your donation of $8.10, or if you give $250, you'll automatically win a signed Tyreek Hill jersey. ShareWavesFoundation.org/Socktober, Nate. ShareWavesFoundation.org/Socktober, if you'd like to help out. And look, and if you're in need, or if you know of a deserving organization that needs help during this time, you can email us at Socks@810WHB.com. Socks@810WHB.com. Nate Bucati.
That's right, because giving away 100,000 of these, and we want to give them to people that are in need. So, yeah, if you know somebody or a group that could use some of these awesome socks, let us know. Socks@810WHB.com. And, definitely, if you can you can make a donation, you get some great prizes. You get entered to win some great prizes. ShareWaves Foundation. .org/Socktober.
All right, let's get back to the NFL and the games that are going to be taking place this weekend. The main event, all apologies to Chiefs and Jets. We know we love the Chiefs, but the Jets kind of take the luster off that that matchup. But here we go. I've been waiting for this game. And look, Steelers and Titans was really good, but I just cannot wait for Steelers and Ravens. It's Steelers at Ravens, high noon. Jake, the line is 3.5. Baltimore is the favorite. Over-under is 47. Jeff Chedia, what's going to happen between the Steelers and the Ravens?
You know, I feel like if you're talking about the top teams in football right now, it's you got the Chiefs, the Bucs, and the Steelers. Like one of those three teams, and probably the Steelers right now because they're undefeated. But like the Ravens got to show me something in this game. And I think this is the kind of game where Lamar Jackson, their offense, they got to figure out who they are, and they got to get back to running the ball better. and more consistently, because Steelers are coming in there, take your lunch money, take your woman, you know.
Damn!
Take your car.
Damn!
You know, anything they can get their hands on. Yeah.
I'm not going to invite them over. Ever. That's terrible.
So they got a laundry list of things they want to take from you. So, and the Ravens know that. They've obviously had a long history, but I just feel like the Steelers right now are playing at a higher level than Baltimore. And watching them, they didn't have a great second half, but against the Titans, I mean, they showed a lot of things that they can do to you, because they've got four wide receivers who can make plays. Eric Ebron's a good tight end. Their running game's got a couple backs, strong offensive line. And the defense, even without Devin Bush playing, is the best in football. You know, I mean, them and the Bucs right now got the best, you know, as far as making that claim. So it's – I like the Steelers. You know, it's – I think the Steelers keep winning.
All right. This is – this may not turn out to be a good game at all, but it almost feels like the Patriots got to do something to turn the tide here. Maybe win this game. Patriots at Bills. Bills are 5-2. Patriots are 2-4. If they have any hope, I think, of competing in this division, they almost feels like they got to win this game, Jeff.
The Bills could legitimately shut the door on at least the Patriots' hopes of being in the AFC East contention and probably a playoff spot this week. So I didn't see anything from the Patriots on Sunday that made me think that they're going to beat the Bills this week.
What's wrong with Cam Newton?
I think I think you're talking about a team that relies so much on week-to-week preparation, you know, changing game plans. They don't have anything to fall back on when they can't practice, you know. So this COVID thing it's hit them on their roster. It's hit them with practice time. And he certainly has been put into a position where I think he's pressing. I think he's thinking too hard. I think that he's indecisive. There's a lot of things going on there, but when he was prepared, he looked better. Now you can say, you know, they played well against Seattle when they lost that game up there, but Seattle's defense isn't that great. But yeah, I think the last two games, I mean, he's been a disaster. And so it's just hard to go in there thinking they're going to beat the Bills with a quarterback playing that poorly on an offense that was already flawed.
They should trade for Tom Brady.
Jeff, I think we know who is more of a factor in their winning now. I think the quarterback was the guy.
Hey, boy, this is going to be an entertaining game. You've got the Raiders coming off their blowout loss to the Bucks, and that was a shame. And the Browns, they get the last second win against the Bengals, but Odell Beckham out for the year. Raiders at Browns.
Mm. That's a tough one. I'm going to go with the Raiders here, just because they need to win more.
Son of a.
And I feel like, yeah, the Browns without Odell, even though they found ways to make some plays, I think that's a huge loss for them in the passing game. Nick Chubb is probably not going to be back for this game from what I read. So I'll go with the Raiders coming in and pulling the upset.
The best division in football is the NFC West, right?
I'd say AFC North
it's good.
Really strong, but
they got the Bengals.
Yeah, they got the Bengals. They got four teams in the NFC West that are legit. I was trying to figure
out
the playoffs.
They're all above 500.
And the reason I ask is because all of a sudden, 49ers, Seahawks, the way the 49ers have been playing lately, they look kind of, I mean, they look pretty good again.
Yeah.
What do you think of that game? It's at Seattle.
It's at Seattle.
3-point favorites, Seahawks.
Yeah. I'd take Seahawks in that game. I just feel like Russell Wilson playing that environment without having to deal with the kind of pass rush the Niners have had in the past with so many guys being hurt or gone, I just feel like they have the upside there. Now, Niners are going to score some points because Seattle can't stop anybody, but you're right. I think you look at the playoff situation in the NFC right now, which is why I'm not as high on the Lions as Steven is. I just feel like you've got one division with four legitimate – playoff teams. You got the Saints and the Buccaneers and in the South, and then you've got, you know, the Green Bay and the Bears having legitimate, you know, hopes of getting the postseason. Whoever wins the NFC East got, you know, they one of these years they may have to just get rid of the NFC East and just say we'll just start seeding teams based on records. But yeah, NFC West is really strong, and that's going to be a huge matchup. I'll take Seattle.
Jake, I need trumpets. I need fanfare. We have just a couple of more scores we need to get from Jeff, but this one is circled. Noon at Ford Field in Detroit, Michigan. The 3-3 Lions host the 4-2 Colts with Philip Rivers. His noodle arm comes to Ford Field. Let's go. Colts at Lions. Jeff Chedia.
This game has Stephen Upset Stomach written all over it. I think that
come on.
That noodle arm comes in here and slices and dices, picks on Matt Patricia, finds him out the nickel back spot and just takes him apart. Look, Colts got a really good defense, which means more than Philip Rivers' mistakes. I'll take that any day over what the Lions are putting on the field. Trust me, every time the Lions make you feel good, they find a way to make you feel worse.
Hey,
two, three times.
They win this game. They're above 500.
Which is exactly why they will lose.
Matt Fish is going to pick off Philip Rivers personally twice.
Right. Okay. Okay, real quick, who's the battle of the basement in the AFC West, Chargers or Broncos in Denver? Who's going to lose? Who's going to be last place?
Broncos. Easily.
Yeah, that's right.
Easily.
Nailed that one. We need a specific score for Jake's purposes. Jets at Chiefs, please. What will the score be?
Jets at Chiefs. 19-point spread. I will take Chiefs 35-3.
Boy, that's a hell of a cover there. There, no question, Jake. You're locked in at 19. Oh, you got to feel fantastic now.
I feel like the Eagles are the Jets are going to kick that field goal in the fourth quarter too. Like where they're already down by 30 some.
Well, they got beat 24-0 by the Dolphins, right? Down in Miami.
But I just that perfect field goal. Like, there's no reason to kick a field goal here. They're going to kick that one, you know, just to
rub it in.
Yeah,
we'll send you a message.
They can continue that tremendous offensive momentum that they showed in the second half of this last game.
I like them apples.
Thank you, Jeff Chedia. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
That's right. That was Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Everyone have a great day on Sports Radio 810 WHB.